left field. The park is not big enough to hold it. Franmil Reyes has gone yard, his 8th home run of the year. The Indians extend their lead to 4-0.
Royals fall again. No longer can we say the Royals. The first place Kansas City Royals. They're now the third place Kansas City Royals. They're a half game behind the White Sox, and they start a series of the White Sox tonight. Brad Keller on the hill. And the White Sox have their ace, Carlos Rodon, who had a no-hitter earlier in the year, ERA of under 1 so far this season. As the Royals, Danny Duffy on the hill yesterday, but got no run support. Didn't pitch that badly. Not quite as good as he has been. And the Royals are now a game behind the Cleveland Indians as the Indians sweep the Royals. First time there at Kauffman Stadium, the fourth time in a four-game sweep against the Royals, but the first time at Kauffman Stadium as the Royals fall 4-0. Nothing happening with the bats, and the Royals fall again. They're just in a skid. They've lost 5 in a row, 6 of the last 7. Danny Duffy, the loss, he's 4-2. He went 5 2/3, 8 hits, 3 runs, 6 strikeouts, 1 walk. ERA still only 1.26, but the Royals can only muster 4 hits. The offense has kind of been feast or famine this year. And only a hit from Soler, Perez, Benintendi, and Merrifield. That was it for the Royals. And the Royals actually had no extra base hits, 4 singles. So not much for the Royals offensively yesterday as they fall to Cleveland and get swept in a 4-game series at home. That's never good. But the Royals are only 1 game out of first in a key series coming up beginning tonight against the White Sox. And as we mentioned, Brad Keller's really been struggling. 2-3 ERA over 8 against a guy with ERA of under 1 and who is 4-0 on paper. That means what? That the Royals are probably going to lose, but that, to me, usually means it goes the other way. You can't get caught up in the numbers. Here's Mike Matheny on his team's skid and recent struggles.
We need to see, and not just one game, you know, on a consistent basis. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for consistency. And every day when it compounds each day that we don't see it, and we're seeing components of it. It's just a matter of putting it together. This team, from the beginning, is finding ways to win, and that's going to be a trademark of this club, and we've got to get back there.
Yep, that's right. There's still 130-some games to figure it out, so the Royals are not the end of the world, but you certainly hope they don't end up going on some kind of crazy 11-game losing streak or something like that. But they're in a division that doesn't have a dominant team right now. And so it's always good. I mean, if you would have said to the Royals fans, including myself or to Dusty, after 30 games, the Royals would be 1 game out of first, I would take it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely, I would.
All day, every day.
No doubt. All right, local sports, Dusty.
Yes, looking at yesterday's scores and results from the area in softball, Beloit gets a sweep over Ellsworth, taking the first game 11-0 in 5 innings and taking game 2 10-0 in 6. Beloit now 12-4 on the season and 6-2 in the NCAA, while Ellsworth dropped to 8-8 and 2-6 in league play. Also yesterday, it was Sylvan Lucas Lincoln finishing out their regular season with a sweep over Ellenwood, 25-2 in the first game, 15-0 in game 2. And Sylvan Lucas Lincoln finishes the regular season at 13-7 as they await the regional tournament coming up later this month. Also in baseball, Lincoln Sylvan Lucas getting a sweep over Ellenwood, 9-4 in game 1 and 7-6 in game 2. Lincoln Sylvan Lucas baseball team now 5-9 on the season. Track and field yesterday, the Riley County Invitational was held at Valley Heights High School. As Beloit was competing there on the team side, Beloit actually took first place individually for the Beloit boys. Gold medal winners Wyatt Brockman in the 800-meter run at 209.20. Brennan Walker finished first in both the 300-meter hurdles at 43.71, and he also won the javelin at 171.10. Two first-place gold medals for Grady Seifert in the shot put for Beloit at 48.6 1/4. And Seifert won the discus at 162 feet 7 inches. And Anthony Hinkey of Beloit took first place in the pole vault at 10 feet 6 inches. Beloit girls finished in fifth place as a team, and they had one gold medal that went to Allie Hayfliger in the pole vault for the Lady Trojans at 9 feet even. So good job yesterday there for the Beloit Lady Trojans, and the Beloit Trojan boys again taking first place as a team there at Valley Heights Riley County Invitational. Riley County also hosting their golf invitational yesterday there in Leonardville. Lakeside, a nice day again as they took first as a team, 312, 40 strokes better than Riley County in second, and St. John's third, Rock Hills fifth. Kylan Cunningham, another championship there on the golf course. Individually, he shot a 69 to get the win. It was 3 strokes better than Taryn Winkle of Lakeside in second with a 72. Rounding out top 10 from the area, Eli Hahn of Lakeside fifth. Jared Eitzman from St. John's finished seventh. And Lakeside's Ross Hudson, Reed Walsh, and Cooper Brown went 8-9-10 there in that event. All those results from the games or meets or golf invitationals that we just went over can be found full results at ncksports.com. Coming up today in high school sports, the Rock Hills Invitational track and field meet with pole vault starting at 2:30. Rest of the field events at 3 o'clock this afternoon, followed by the running events. Rock Hills, St. John's, Lakeside, Tipton, and Thunder Ridge are all competing there. And the Thompson Relays at Lincoln at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Lincoln, Osborne, and Sylvan Lucas are at that one in Lincoln. So boys golf today at 3 o'clock, Hill City Invitational, Osborne competing there, and the boys softball team is at Republic County here this afternoon. That doubleheader begins at 4 o'clock in Belleville. So that's a look at what's going on here today as well. Again, all the latest in local sports at ncksports.com.
All right. You mentioned the softball yesterday?
Yep.
All right. Fourth time this year I've been told an ambulance has been at a baseball or softball game in Beloit this year. Four times.
That's not what you want.
One time was a bad injury to a player. Another time was a home plate umpire that needed assistance between games. Last night, a lady apparently had a seizure, and I don't even know what happened the fourth time. So that's crazy. Four times the ambulance has showed up at the Beloit baseball or softball fields during this season. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's not a stat you want to lead the league in, that's
not at
for
all.
Sure. A great player was released yesterday. That would be Albert Pujols from the Angels. He is released, and he is in the final season of his 10-year, $254 million contract. Stat-wise, he put up the numbers. He's fifth in MLB history at 667 homers. He joined the Angels ahead of the 2012 season after spending his first 11 years with the Cardinals. He's 41 years old, very productive during his time statistically with the Angels, although they didn't win anything of noteworthiness. They were swept by the Royals back in 2014 when the Royals got hot, of course, and made it to Game 7 of the World Series before falling to the Giants. And so he still wants to play. The Angels released a nice statement about Pujols and the class act he is, and they wanted basically – they knew he wanted to keep playing. He lost his job with the Angels, although he's still getting to play some because of some other injuries, but they wanted to keep an opening for a 39th round draft pick who's really moving up and playing well, which is interesting because Albert Pujols was a low draft pick as well. Mm-hmm. Tons of teams passed on Albert Pujols. He's right in the backyard of Kansas City Royals fame, as we know, but the Royals passed along with tons of teams. And so the question now is, will anybody take him on? He needs to probably be a DH, although he wants to play first, but I think it's probably going to be a DH situation. What teams would be interested in Albert Pujols' services? Somebody mentioned the Royals. I don't think so, because Carlos Santana's at first. Granted, DH-wise, the other day they Ryan O'Hearn DHing. I mean, I guess you could take a flyer on Pujols, but I don't think that fits what the Royals want to do at all. And so we'll see if Albert Pujols gets picked up by another team or if nobody – gives him an opportunity, and he just has to retire. As he said before, he quoted in 2017, the game tells you when to retire. And the game will tell him to retire if nobody takes him on.
I mean,
it's pretty simple as that. But I think somebody will take a flyer on Pujols. He's a great guy in the clubhouse, a good leader. So I don't think you have anything to lose by bringing him into your clubhouse. But the question is going to be, you know, is he going to take away playing time from a younger player? If so, you probably shouldn't do it. But if you really need a bat and there's nobody really a better option, then Pujols might be your guy. So 667 homers. This is a guy that's just done it kind of a class way. A guy that isn't flamboyant and honestly probably very underrated, to be quite honest with you, Albert Pujols. Sad news passed along to you. Texas linebacker Jake Ellinger was found dead Thursday, according to police in Austin, Texas. Ellinger is a younger brother of former Longhorns quarterback Sam Ellinger, who was entering his third season with the program. Authorities said his death is not considered suspicious. Sam Ellinger just was drafted in the sixth round by the Indianapolis Colts, and they were all together celebrating that along with his brother Jake, who just passed away yesterday. So our thoughts and prayers with the Ellinger family. Their father, Ross, died at the age of 46 in 2013 while competing in a triathlon. So a second horrible tragedy happening way too soon to the Ellinger family. So thoughts and prayers and condolences go out to the Ellinger family here today. The NBA continues to wind down its regular season. The Lakers got toasted by the Clippers last night, and the Mavs hung on, and the Nets have lost four in a row. Russell Westbrook with yet another triple-double, to help beat the Raptors for the Wizards, and the Warriors move to the number 8 slot in the standings for the playoffs. As last night, we'll go through the results and how everything turned out in the NBA. The Bulls beat the Hornets 120-99. Also, last night, it was the Wizards in overtime over the Raptors, 131-129. Russell Westbrook, 13 points, 17 rebounds, 17 assists. The Nets lose their fourth in a row to the Mavericks, 113-109. Kyrie Irving with 45 in a loss. Luka Doncic, 24 in the win for the Mavs. The Pistons beat the Grizzlies, 111-97. It was the Pacers over the Hawks, 133-126. Trae Young with 30 for the Hawks. Domantas Sabonis, 30 for the Pacers. The Warriors beat the Thunder, 118-97. Steph Curry with 34 this time around. And as I mentioned, the Clippers rolled the Lakers. Lakers without LeBron James. Anthony Davis had to leave the game early. Kyle Kuzma, 25. Paul George with 24 as the Clippers beat the Lakers. So we take a look at the NBA standings. They only have about 5 or 6 games left in the 72-game regular season. And right now in the East, the Sixers are looking pretty good to be number one seed. The Nets now only have a half game lead over the Bucks for the 3 seed, and the Bucks own the tiebreaker after beating the Nets in back-to-back games earlier this week. The Knicks are in the 4 spot, but the Hawks are only a game out of that at 5, and the Celtics move up to the 6th spot. They're only a game out of the 5th spot, but they're tied, the Celtics, with the Heat for the 6th spot, so the Heat could easily move up to 6 or even 5. The Hornets are in the 8, the Pacers at 9, and the Wizards now at 10, and they could move up possibly to the 8 or 9 spot before the season is over. So lots of jockeying for position in Eastern Conference, and really the only team that seems to be looking probably better than anybody in regards to their slot would be the number one seed now, The Philadelphia 76ers. Everybody else could easily move. The Nets and Bucks could swap places. The Knicks, Hawks, the Celtics, Heat, the Hornets, Pacers, Wizards could all change slots. The Wizards probably maybe the hottest team along with the Knicks in the NBA right now in the East. In the West, the Jazz lead the Suns by 1 game. The Clippers are 3.5 back. The Clippers are in the 3 slot. The Nuggets are in the 4. The Mavericks at the 5. And the Lakers right now are tied with the Blazers for the 6th seed, which means the other team would get the 7, which means play-in tournament. The Lakers lost 7 of their last 10. And LeBron probably out for another game or two possibly with the ailing ankle. The Blazers at 7, the Warriors now up to 8, and the Grizzlies are at 9, and Dusty Spurs are hanging on to that 10th slot, a game and a half ahead of the Pelicans. So that's an update on the NBA and where things are headed there. And I tell you right now, the teams that are playing the best ball, like I said, I would say the Knicks are playing really good ball. The Wizards are winning. They're finding ways to win. The West, the Clippers are coming on. The Nuggets have been able to keep the boat afloat without Jamal Murray due to injury, which is pretty impressive. The Mavericks are really coming on. They've won 8 of their last 10, so they and the Nuggets are the hottest teams in the West, believe it or not. So, and the Lakers are the team that's struggling the most down the stretch. They've lost 7 of their last 10. So the Lakers are trending downward. The Mavericks, the Nuggets are trending upward. It's going to be an interesting run for these playoff spots. And remember, once again, how this works, the 7 and the 8 seed will play each other for the winner will get the 7 seed, and the loser then will have to play the winner of the 9-10 matchup. So, for instance, Spurs-Grizzlies be the 9-10. Let's say the Spurs win and the Blazers beat the Warriors, then the Spurs and Warriors will play for the final spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or possibly, how about this? Wouldn't this be crazy? The Lakers end up being the 7, lose to Steph Curry and the Warriors. They end up going to 8, and then it's Lakers-Spurs for the final spot. Who would have thought that? I mean, it's all possible. Yeah. It's all possible. It's all possible. I mean, this is about as bunched up as I've seen the playoffs in a while when it comes to both conferences. I mean,
yeah, for both conferences. The West kind of been like that
The
last few years, right? Like,
right.
The 8 seed and 7 and 6 are all kind of like,
right.
And then 9 and 10 are just right there waiting and trying to get in and, but, yeah, it's been a while since it's been both conferences.
Only 2 games separate the 4 seed and the 7 seed in the East. And only 3 games separate the 1, 2, and the 3. And the West, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 teams within 4 games of each other from 5 to a 9. So It is pretty bunched up. And it will be an interesting postseason, no doubt, in the NBA to see who comes out of that. Let's see if there's any other notes that we should pass along to you. Of course, the Yankee fans gave the Astros a lot in their recent series in regards to the booing and everything else. And apparently the Astros complained a little bit about it, which is kind of funny. It's like, you cheated. You did what you did. You even admitted to it. And now you're upset about booing. It's like, hello, you were saved from last year because you didn't have to deal with fans. And so you're really honestly probably not getting as bad as you would have gotten it had it been a year ago. Also, some interesting information. The Packers reportedly offered to make Aaron Rodgers the top paid quarterback in the league, pay him more than Patrick Mahomes earlier this offseason, and Rodgers basically blew him off. Another report says that Aaron Rodgers, told free agents, I don't know if that was current Packers or free agents or possible free agents coming to Green Bay, he said, I'm not going to be there. He goes, more than likely, I'm not going to be there. He told free agents ahead of time, according to another report. He's also compared the GM that he doesn't like with the Packers, Jerry Krause. He's called him Jerry Krause, which I'll tell you something. You may say that's really insulting. Jerry Krause won 6 championships.
Yeah.
So really comparing Jerry Krause is an insult to Jerry Krause.
Yeah.
To be quite honest. So that's kind of interesting. And then the NFL Players Union calls a league menu. Try that again. NFL Players Union is calling a league memo that referred to Juwan James' injury gutless. Per report, tensions continue to fester between the NFL and the NFLPA. Juwan James' season-ending injury has had a ripple effect across the NFL. The league specifically mentioned James in a memo Tuesday that encouraged teams to remind their players of the benefits of working out at team facilities. James, who opted out of the 2020 season due to COVID-19, suffered a torn Achilles early injury this week while working from home. Because it has been designated as a non-football injury, the memo states that the Broncos have no contractual obligation to pay the offensive tackle his $10 million salary for the 2021 season, as their injury took place outside the team's facility. The memo went on to say that had the injury taken place inside Denver's facility, the team would have to pay James' salary. The NFL Players Association responded with an email that was sent to the players. In the email, union officials essentially told players to hold their ground as it relates to working out outside of team facilities. It was gutless to use a player's serious injury as a scare tactic to get you to come running back to these workouts, the NFLPA wrote in an email to their members. This memo is another sign of what they think of you and also affirms that they simply want to control you year-round in any and every way that they can. We have been in touch with Juwan James despite an open threat of a NFI designation. Juwan was working out to stay in shape under a program recommended to him by his coach. The Broncos were the first team that publicly announced their decision to not participate in offseason workouts on April 13th, with a slew of other teams following suit. In their statement announcing their intention to sit out offseason workouts, the Broncos pointed to the ongoing pandemic as a reason they will not be attending. The Broncos statement also pointed out to the success of the 2020 NFL season when making their argument for a second virtual offseason. So the Broncos were all about that, but based on the technicalities and the contracts and everything else, the NFL saying, well, you weren't at team facilities. So when you bring that into the conversation, if the Broncos are saying, listen, we want you to work out at home anyway, then I think I would argue, listen, you're the one that told me not to work out your facilities. Mm-hmm. So now I get hurt working out at home. Well, what do you want me to do? Get fat, eat a whole bunch of bonbons and Twinkies and drink a whole bunch of pop and beer or whatever just to make sure I don't get hurt? I mean, I was working out trying to play for your team. And that adds a little bit something to this because some teams have said they'd rather, you do your stuff away from the facility because of COVID-19 still ongoing a little bit, while other teams are all about let's go back to normal. So that's an interesting wild card because if it were the Broncos having their workouts at the team facilities as you normally would, and he got hurt, as I said the other day, it is in the contract. You signed the contract. And yes, you could try to argue that, and the team would have to decide, are you worth taking that out of the contract to allow you to work from home? Or do you say, listen, we can get another guy, we can pay him if you're not going to agree to this, which possibly could happen. But it is a bit of a loophole for a team to get away from not having to pay a guy money in his contract. But the guy did sign the contract. However, in this situation, the wild card is that the Broncos are saying, don't come to the team facilities. Let's go ahead. You do your stuff outside team facilities. So James apparently did that, got hurt, and now the NFL's using this as an example of, here, you need to be at facilities. Shouldn't the NFL get all their ducks in a row and get all the organizations and the teams to say, let's all unanimously agree that we need to have the workouts at the team facilities? Wouldn't that be the better thing to do before sending out that kind of memo?
You would think, yeah. We need to make sure that every team is allowing their people to work out
right
at their facilities before you send a memo out like that, right? You got to know that Yes or no, are you allowing people to come into your place and your facilities to do their workouts, to do all their off-season training? And clearly the Broncos are not doing that. So no. I kind of get where the people come from on that end of it, too.
You bet.
If they're like, well, he couldn't work out at his team facilities.
If I was Juwan James, I mean, if that happened to me, I'd be arguing that. I'd be like, dude, you're not allowing me to be there anyway.
Yeah.
So how can you hold me accountable for something you prevented me from doing?
Yeah.
You're not going to pay me $10 million because I didn't work at your facilities, but you told me that we're not working out at the facilities.
Yeah.
What was I supposed to do? It'll be interesting.
It's an out for a guy that just hasn't provided anything for the Broncos lately, and I think that's how they're I think that's probably why they're on that side of that.
I think you're
trying
right.
Trying to not pay him because he sat out. He's been injured.
Yeah. Had he been, like Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz, probably be a little bit different situation.
Yeah.
You know, the Broncos or even a Garrett Bowles that's been there for a few years. That was a high draft pick. Yeah, I agree with you. Totally. Interesting. There's always strife between unions, it seems like.
Oh,
and obviously the NFL and the NFLPA having some issues right now.